Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you in or out on these sleepers? Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Ryan Wormley. Joining me today are the most dynamic of duo, Andrew Erickson and Derek Brown. D-Bro, how are you doing? We were just talking about this before the show. We are creeping ever closer, really not creeping at this point, barreling ever closer towards fantasy season. How are you feeling here in the second week of July?
I'm doing good, man. I think we're right now, and we talked about this prior to kicking off the show, but I think the bell has been rung. It is time for fantasy season, and we see that, man. FSB drafts are dominating Twitter and the timeline right now, and you'd love to see it. One, Scott Fish does an amazing thing for the fantasy industry, and two, this rings the bell. People are going to be coming back to redraft season and getting ready for drafts, and you just love this time of year, man.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about like the 4th of July is sort of the unofficial start of the fantasy draft season. It's really Scott Fishbowl season. We all know that. Erickson, you were just talking about one of your drafts here before the show and how you're already getting snaked.
Yeah, pretty much. I was looking at Justin Herbert, hoping he'd fall to me. He did not. He went number two overall. So I'm waiting with anticipation to make my first pick. My first official investment in a redraft team. I'm like, who am I going to go with? Is CMC going to fall to me? I don't tell Joe. I don't know.
After all the best ball drafts that we do all summer long, it is sort of interesting to switch that brain into, okay, yeah, this is like an actual redraft league that I'm invested in. It's certainly a fun time. As always, I want to make sure the listeners can find the three of us online. Erickson's Twitter handle is at @AndrewErickson_. D-Bro is at @D-Bro_FFB. And I can be found at Ryan Wormley, no underscore for me. And of course, we can be found everywhere online at Fantasy Pros. I also want to mention an awesome prize Fantasy Pros is giving away to the listeners. We've got a free signed CeeDee Lamb jersey giveaway over at fantasypros.com/contest right now. All our listeners have to do to subscribe is subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Take a screenshot, submit it at fantasypros.com/contest to have a chance to win. Just make sure you enter before the end of the month. We've also got tons of action going on over on the Fantasy Pros Discord server right now. Anybody can sign up at fantasypros.com/chat for some quality fantasy football discussions with your fellow fanatics. But remember, premium subscribers gain access to dozens of extra channels, including live AMAs with all of our analysts, including such luminaries as Pat Fitzmaurice, Matthew Friedman, Joey P, and of course, D-Bro and Erickson. Again, that's fantasypros.com/chat for live advice and fantasy discussions with our analysts. Guys, today we are talking about sleepers at a bunch of different positions. We're going through running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks, and tight ends all in the same episode. We were talking before the show. The term sleeper is sort of like has changed a lot over the years. It used to be guys that you could get late that could win you your league. Now we consider those more maybe breakouts or league winners. It's sort of a nebulous term. We are putting no ADP restrictions on this. These are just some of the most popular sleepers that you will find on sleeper lists throughout the industry right now. And so we're going to hit a couple of names from each position and basically ask the guys, how do you feel about them? Are you in on them? Where they're going? Are you out on them? Do they fit the term of sleeper? So let's jump right into it. We're going to start with the most popular position, of course, running backs. We're going to start with Elijah Mitchell. And Debra, I'll just start off with you. I know that I've talked to you about some dynasty trades where I've given away Elijah Mitchell and you've been, proud of me, if I do say so myself. So I ask you, do you see him as a good sleeper right now? Are you in on Elijah Mitchell?
I am definitely out. I find myself only barely behind consensus. I got him at RB26, but I just think the bottom could fall out for Elijah Mitchell this year. A lot of his production, and we always gravitate towards volume for running backs, but RB14 last year, everything that you wanted to see for snaps, I mean, his third in opportunity share, 13th in carries and stuff, if those things don't repeat, because he didn't have the efficiency, I mean, we're literally looking at a running back that was outside the top 25 in nearly every efficiency metric that I care about, it's going to leave me with hardly any Elijah Mitchell this year.
And Andrew, I know Mitchell is somebody that you are actually higher on. I believe you have him 19th. The rankings were updated. You've got him 19th in half-point PPR. Among the running backs, what do you like more about him than Debro?
Well, it's funny because he's kind of like he's probably the last dead zone running back that I actually will take. That's basically kind of how I have him tiered out. I have him ahead of like Jacobs, Montgomery, Gibson, Damien Harris, J.K. Dobbins, Zeke, because I think that he's like closer to those guys. But if I have to take one of those players, I'm taking Elijah Mitchell because it's his second year in the system. I think that he's still a talented player. He had a great opportunity last year, fourth in total carries, one of just eight running backs to post over 1,000 rushing yards. And I know that the Shanahan scheme, the shenanigans are not great to follow. And I ultimately think that Tyrion Davis Price is probably a guy that I like as a better value, like getting, you can basically draft him for free later on. So I think he's also a sleeper, but Elijah Mitchell, he sometimes falls enough into like the back end of like the sixth round where, I mean, when this guy's healthy, he's probably going to be the 49ers bell cow. Like, I feel pretty confident about that, but there are concerns about how his workload and how his body will hold up. He missed six games last year because 80% of his yards came after contact. Like, that's not going to change necessarily. I don't project him to have a huge role in the passing game. So he's someone that I think could start the season out pretty well, but maybe kind of dwindle down the stretch.
Debro, how do you generally feel about running backs in an offense with a rushing quarterback? Because there's a lot of different narratives that sort of compete against each other at times. There's, well, because the quarterback is a threat, then you maybe have easier rushing lanes to go through. But then there's also the quarterback's probably not going to dump it off to you because he can scramble. You're probably going to lose out on rushing touchdowns when you're in the red zone if the quarterback can run. So when you're evaluating a running back who is in an offense, and obviously we're assuming Trey Lance, a guy who's going to run a lot, how do you evaluate running backs in those types of offenses when you're looking for sleepers and breakouts?
I think it comes down to a few things. I mean, I'm looking at the context of the offense, like how often are they, how high is their red zone rushing rate? But not only that, but like when you look at, say, Lamar Jackson, he doesn't run a lot inside the red zone. Now, he gets rushing touchdowns, but a lot of those come outside the 20. I think if we kind of like harken back a little bit to Elijah Mitchell, it's one of the reasons why I'm so concerned about him. Because even in that bell cow role last year, he was 31st in weighted opportunities. He was 41st in red zone touches. So I could see a worst case scenario for Elijah Mitchell versus like with Trey Lance now being airdropped into the offense than I can for possibly some other running backs with rushing quarterbacks.
Let's move to another running back that is in an offense with a quarterback who rushes the ball a lot, and that's Miles Sanders in Philadelphia, another guy we were talking about before the show, and there is some definite disagreement here. I know Debro is much higher on him than Erickson is. So Erickson, I'll start with you. I assume that if I were to ask you, are you in on Sanders as a sleeper, you would say definitively no. You have him ranked 32nd for the record.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask Miles Sanders if he's a sleeper that you should draft, he'll say no as well. Because he knows his role in the Eagles offense is not good for fantasy football. Like, he's not going to catch passes. He hasn't been heavily involved in the passing game since his rookie year. And talking about mobile quarterbacks, He's not going to catch passes from Jalen Hurts. He's not even the top receiving running back out of the backfield. That's Kenneth Gainwell, the second year running back for the Philadelphia Eagles. So, you know, best case scenario with Sanders, I see, is someone that is going to see like 12 to 15 touches per game, which are going to come in rushing attempts. That's what he had last year down the stretch over his last five games when he was healthy. Red zone usage. Okay, people are going to scream touchdown regression for Miles Sanders. Okay, well, if this team runs less, then there's naturally going to be less rushing touchdowns anyway because of how many rushing touchdowns the Eagles scored cumulatively last year. And that's considering if his role changes in the offense. Like, he has to have a red zone role to get opportunities to score touchdowns. So I just don't think that, you know, a guy that averages 5 yards per carry, we know that volume is more important than running back efficiency. So I don't really care that Miles Sanders is efficient on the ground. He's going to be, because every Eagles running back is going to be efficient. Jordan Howard, look at his numbers last year. Great running back for Jordan Howard, but no one's going to confuse him for some explosive running back. You're not catching passes. You don't have a red zone role. I don't want you on my fantasy team.
Where would you be comfortable drafting Sanders?
Outside the top 100 picks.
Okay, that is a steep drop. You hear the whistle from D-Bro. Just to let everybody know, Sanders is currently ranked 26th in half-point PPR at the position. Erickson, like I said, has him at 32nd. And D-Bro has him the highest of all the Fantasy Pros analysts, all the way up at 20.
Well, I'll push back about the efficiency. I care about the efficiency because if he's not, or I want him to be, and that's one of the reasons why I don't like Elijah Mitchell, is because I like running backs that are efficient. If we're worried about some of the volume and stuff, can he break off big runs? Can he get into the end zone in that way if his red zone usage is a little bit less than some of these other running backs? That's why I care about the efficiency for Miles Sanders, and I think the Philadelphia Eagles offense is going to be better this year. So the fact that I have him at RB20, I know that might sound spicy, but he's in a tier of a lot of different running backs that could easily fall, like, be mid RB2s. So the fact that he's 10th in yards per touch, 16th in yards created per touch, matters a lot to me in what I think, like, his evaluation and his upside for the 2022 season.
How much does the performance of Jalen Hurts matter in how you're projecting out Miles Sanders this season?
I mean, it matters a lot because you're talking about how efficient is this offense going to be overall, and thus how often is this team going to be in the red zone? If they're in the red zone less, then obviously that's going to hurt Miles Sanders, much less the entire offense. But I've been on board with Jalen Hurts. I think the Eagles offense is going to be fantastic this year.
Let's move on to another running back here. A rookie this time, so we haven't actually seen him in the NFL play it down yet. Ken Walker on the Seahawks. D-Bro, I'll start with you here. I know that this is another guy that you do like more than Erickson does.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Ken Walker. It's still weird to say Ken Walker. Ken
I know, Walker. I totally agree. It feels wrong.
It just feels, and I'm sorry, Kenneth Walker, but we're just going to go that direction. I'm in line with consensus with, I just have a problem saying Ken Walker. It's just weird to me. Yeah, I'm in line with consensus. I have him at RB34. Consensus is at RB35. I'm in on him because I think that this team, one, yes, the offensive efficiency might be rough, but I think that there are paths for Walker to get this role and keep it for the entire season. I mean, I know Erickson and I are much both in line and we're in on Breece Hall. If you look at efficiency metrics, Kenneth Walker was a better, more efficient running back over his collegiate career than Breece Hall was. So this is more of a bet on talent and the range of outcomes that he could be the number one running back over Rashad Penny.
If Walker were to become the clear number one running back in that offense, we don't know exactly what it'll look like, you know, based on the quarterback play without Russ out there anymore. But let's assume that it'll be a baseline QB level play and Walker becomes the number one. What do you think his upside is by the time we get to like December in the season, D-Bro?
If he's a clear number one, I mean, he's probably a top 20 running back. And even this is even in a bad offense. He'll get a little bit of target opportunities in this offense. I mean, maybe DJ Dallas steals some routes and things of that nature. But if he's the clear number one, you're looking at a running back that's going to garner 17 to 20 touches, 15 to 20 touches weekly.
Erickson, you are more down on him. You're not that far down on him. You have him 38th right now in half-point PPR. What is holding you back on Walker? Is it just the Rashad Penny of it all and not knowing the quarterback play?
I just don't want players on bad offenses that don't project to have a role in a passing game. Like, when you look at the running backs that are going higher in ADP, running backs that are able to thrive on bad offenses, it's because they can catch passes out of the backfield. and they profile in that particular role. So if the Seahawks are trailing in a bunch of their games, like, is Kenneth Walker even going to be on the field? Like, I don't know the answer to that question. So that makes me very tentative to buy into him, especially redraft, where you draft Kenneth Walker, you're going to have to hold him on your bench the entire season. And you're going to have to wait for Rashad Penny to get hurt. You're going to have to wait for good matchups against bad teams where Seattle can actually run the football. So I get that, you know, you're betting on talent, but there's a lot, and this just kind of goes back to the whole betting on talent just conversation. There's a lot of talented running backs that you can bet on that you can get late. So why would I bet on Kenneth Walker when I could bet on someone like Ramondre Stevenson? I think he's talented and he's a way better situation. He's also not the starter. So that's the way I view it.
The next running back we're going to talk about is A.J. Dillon, and he is one of the most popular sleepers as far as running backs go out there. A lot of people are expecting that he's going to get a lot heavier of a workload this season. He and Aaron Jones, of course, are actually the only running back duo from the same team to both be in the top 25 of the current half-point PPR ECR rankings. So this is an offense that people are expecting to have two quality running backs out of, at least if you are believing the experts. So, Deeper, I'll start with you. Are you in on A.J. Dillon? I think a lot of people are in on him, but are you in on him where he's going right now?
I'm in line with consensus, and not to just sound boring, like, oh, I'm in line with everybody, but like, I think that there's opportunity for A.J. Dillon. I'm more likely to draft A.J. Dillon at his cost over Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is going as a top 12 running back in the NFL. Like, I mean, well, a top 12 running back in fantasy. And I'm more likely to pay the price and get A.J. Dillon on my teams if I'm getting exposure to this team over going with Aaron Jones, because we saw down the stretch, A.J. Dillon was the red zone back. I care about touchdowns. Erickson was talking about it. If this offense is good, and that's what this all comes down to, A.J. Dillon's going to have a lot of scoring opportunities if we think he takes a step forward. I mean, the guy was 12th in red zone touches in a part-time role last year.
What kind of chance do you think there is of Dillon finishing actually ahead of Aaron Jones in terms of scoring by the end of the season?
I'd say it's 50-50, and a lot of people are not putting it that close. But if the touchdowns go to A.J. Dillon and he eats into the routes that everybody pegs to all go to Aaron Jones, it easily could happen.
Yeah, I was not expecting you to say 50-50. I was expecting you to say it's closer than people think, but 50-50 is a bit strong for me.
If you look at the ranks, Aaron Jones is going way, way ahead of A.J. Dillon. Like, the consensus is telling us it's not 50-50. They're making big bets on Aaron Jones.
Yeah, and I'm with you on Dillon certainly being the guy I'd rather have at cost. But I think, if I were a betting man, I would still say at the end of the day that I would expect Jones to outscore Dillon on the season, just because we've seen him do it, you know, more than once. Erickson, where would you put that percentage at?
Well, let me lay some stats on you to see if I can change your mind on how much you would bet on this. So you look at the final 8 weeks of last season, A.J. Dillon, RB6 overall in half point scoring, 14.5 fantasy points per game, was 11th. So an RB1 over the last half of the season. Aaron Jones played 6 games versus A.J. Dillon, 7 games. Well, that averaged 11.9 fantasy points per game, which is 23rd. Basically, their ADPs are reversed based on how they finished the last 8 weeks of the regular season. Does that alter your perception whatsoever? Because really, the Aaron Jones argument is all about Devonta Adams not being there. And it's like, okay, he's going to get all these receptions. Like, that's what people are basically kind of hyping up Jones with. But without that, you know, the red zone usage is probably going to favor Dillon. Who's going to lead the team in rushing? And rushing attempts, it's probably A.J. Dillon. So with all that in mind, it's like, dude, like, this guy's going to touch the ball just as many times. And Aaron Jones has to run hot when it comes to receptions and receiving. And if you do any type of prop betting, projecting running back receptions and receiving yards is very hard week to week because it's so game script dependent. If the Packers are winning in a game by 14 points, Aaron Jones is not going to have 10 targets. A.J. Dillon's going to have 25 carries. Like, that's what's going to happen. So I mean, I would not be surprised whatsoever, and I would be willing to take plus money odds to bet on A.J. Dillon to outscore Aaron Jones.
So that is a telling stat. So let me ask you this. It's sort of the reverse of what we're seeing in Denver, where everybody is ranking Javonte Williams much higher than Melvin Gordon. He's the young up-and-comer. People are hoping that they're going to move on from the veteran. Why do you think people aren't doing the same thing with Green Bay? They're instead ranking that veteran still as the clear number one guy and not the exciting young up-and-comer, Erickson.
That is a loaded question, and I'm not exactly sure how to handle it, because that's a really good point you bring up. You know, why is Aaron Jones? It's probably because Aaron Jones has still, I mean, he's a little bit younger than Melvin Gordon. I think that people have already been ready to write off Melvin Gordon. It seems like we just waited so long for Aaron Jones to like be like the top running back that we all want him to be. So I think it's a little bit of like latching on to it. But when we're having this conversation next year, it's like, oh, like Aaron Jones is dust, like free AJ Dillon. Like that'll probably be like pretty strong narratives coming out of next year's fantasy. So I think it's a really good question.
Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk to everyone about Pristine Auction. PristineAuction.com is the most trusted sports memorabilia site with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. Auctions on PristineAuction.com start at just $1, and each day there are over 1,000 autographed items available, so you win signed, authentic signatures at affordable prices. Just last week, an autographed Justin Herbert jersey sold for $110. Deals like this are happening all the time on PristineAuction.com, and they have just about every player you could want, including Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and so much more. Every item on PristineAuction.com comes with a certificate of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators. Upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item one when you use code FANTASYPROS, one word. Be sure to sign up now because there are deals ending every day. Again, that's code FANTASYPROS for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia on PristineAuction.com. Let's move to our final running back sleeper here. And this is a guy who is going pretty high also. Travis Etienne, another guy who, even though he's not a rookie, hasn't actually played a snap in the NFL yet, coming off the injury. New coaching staff in Jacksonville. Obviously, we have Trevor Lawrence's second year coming up. Debro, where are you at on Etienne right now?
I'm above consensus. I've been above consensus. I'll remain above consensus. If consensus kind of comes up on him some more, I'll probably bump him up a little bit because I want our drafters that are looking at our ranks on Fantasy Pros to be heavy on Travis Etienne this year. I have him at RB16. I just think that there is such a runway for Travis Etienne to be this year's DeAndre Swift. I'm absolutely in on him. I mean, if you look at Erickson's talking about targets, I think that he can garner a ton of targets this year. And we know Peterson will run near the goal line. If James Robinson's not going to be a big part of this offense, then Travis Etienne's going to eat in all facets.
Erickson, you are also above consensus on Etienne. You have him 18th right now. He's 21st ranked according to ECR. How high would you be willing to take him? In what round are you looking to take Etienne in your drafts?
I think round 3 is where, I mean, if you want to get him and be aggressive on him, I think that's the bullish round to go after Etienne. Obviously, you want to try to get guys as late as possible. So round 4 is probably more of the sweet spot. But I mean, a full point PPR, I don't really hate taking him in round 3. I think that Debro hit on all the points where you're getting a guy who has the potential to be the best player in his offense. Like that matters a lot, you know, and that's what it was at Clemson. You know, he was the best player in offense. That's why he touched the ball all the freaking time. And he has chemistry built in with Trevor Lawrence already, so there's some familiarity there. You have James Robinson coming off an injury, so there should be volume for Travis Etienne. I mean, the only reason, I mean, let's think, if he had played one game last year, and let's say he scored like 25 fantasy points, he had like 6 or 7 catches somehow in the Urban Meyer offense, then he'd probably be a second-round pick no matter what, because that's what it was like when Dalvin Cook flashed as a rookie for 4 games, and then he was a second-round pick next year, even though he was coming off a torn or a season-long injury. But because we didn't see him at all, that's why he's in the 3rd, 4th round, which is, you know, the quote-unquote RB dead zone. So for perspective on Etienne, I think that if you look at Miles Sanders' rookie year, when he actually was involved in the passing game, he was the RB15 with the 53% snap share in Doug Peterson's offense. So, I mean, that's kind of where I have him ranked. I think I have him ranked around the RB15 range, and I think that's really a really realistic case for Etienne, even as like a floor play, especially while Robinson rehabs from his injury.
So let's stick with the Jaguars as we move to our quarterback sleepers, because on that list is Trevor Lawrence going into his second season. We've seen it a bunch of times before, second year quarterbacks breaking out in a major way and becoming MVP level players. I don't know if we're necessarily expecting that from Lawrence, but he is on a lot of sleeper lists this year. How high of a ceiling do you see for this offense overall in Jacksonville, Debro?
I don't. I don't want to heavily invest in this offense. And I think when you're looking at from a macro perspective, Lawrence soaking up and basically being the spearhead for the offense, I'm more just likely just going to just pick apart pieces of this offense because I don't like the offensive complexion overall. I am much lower on Trevor Lawrence than consensus. I have him at QB25. And I think that you're really looking at probably a ceiling of Trevor Lawrence being a mid QB2. he was just, I mean, everybody wants to put this all on Urban Meyer and say that, okay, well, he was bad last year. He was terrible last year. He wasn't just bad. He was legitimately horrible last year. I mean, 44 quarterbacks with 100 more dropbacks, 36th in PFF grade, 34th in adjusted completion rate, and now you've got an offense that outside of ETN and maybe Christian Kirk, we got the Jones brothers, we got Evan Ingram, we've got Viska Treadwell. Like, these are not sexy parts and pieces of this offense. These are not going to help elevate Lawrence to this upper echelon or where they want to believe in him. So, no. I'm out on Trevor Lawrence.
Erickson, you are more in line with consensus here. Lawrence is currently ranked 18th by the experts. You have him 19th, so just one behind there. So let me ask you, since you are the one who's higher on both Etienne and Lawrence combined and sort of the upside of this Jacksonville offense, who do you like better relative at their position as a sleeper, Etienne amongst the running backs or Lawrence amongst the quarterbacks?
Definitely like the pieces of the Jaguars offense. You know, I like Etienne. I like Christian Kirk, who's going outside the top 40 wide receivers a lot in terms of like best ball drafts, because the reason that I think Lawrence, they're going to pass the ball a lot in this offense. It makes sense based on what Doug Peterson has done during his tenure with the Eagles. He only had one season where he finished outside the top 10 in passing attempts. You figure the Jaguars probably going to be a team that's still going to lose a bunch of games. Their defense is still, you know, rolling out new players. So I don't expect them to be, you know, running the gun and being up big on these teams to be able to run the football. Like, that's why Etienne works, because he's going to be involved in the passing game as a running back. So he doesn't necessarily need a lot of rushing attempts to really get there for fantasy. So you have to bet on efficiency. And that's kind of the trap sometimes people fall in with these quarterback sleepers is, again, not valuing the rushing enough and overvaluing like, oh, well, they're going to throw the ball a ton. It's like, the Jaguars threw a ton last year too, and they sucked because you didn't have efficiency. Like, you need touchdowns. So even though I expect Lawrence to take a step forward in terms of efficiency just by natural regression, you know, addition by subtraction of Urban Meyer in the offense, you know, how much does that actually get him to being, you know, is he going to be a top 15 quarterback? I mean, probably not. Like, he's going to have to run hot with touchdowns, and just based on who he has throwing him the ball, like, he's got, he has betas. Like, he doesn't have any alpha receivers on his team. So to expect him to go out, oh, he's going to throw for 40 touchdowns. It's like, dude, like, there are guys that throw for 40 touchdowns. Stafford threw for 40 touchdowns last year and was barely a quarterback one because he didn't have the rushing. So those are just the kind of things to keep in mind where, yeah, Lawrence can improve dramatically, but what that means for fantasy is really more of like a back end QB too.
One quarterback who is going to rush that is also on this sleeper list is Trey Lance, who we've mentioned earlier in the show. And you guys are both a higher than consensus on Lance right now. Debro has him 12th. Erickson has him 9th. He's ranked 13th. So because you guys are higher than consensus on him, the answer to this question is probably obvious. But Debro, I'll ask you, are we jumping the gun a little too much on Trey Lance as a borderline QB1 already?
Nope. I look at Trey Lance the exact same way that I looked at Jalen Hurts and relative to the floor. As long as he's playing and we're not projecting injuries, the rushing equity is going to keep him inside the top 12 to 15 quarterbacks. I think top 12, as long as he is active. And we saw this last year, guys. Two games started, 12 rushing attempts per game, 60 yards per game. That's all we needed to see. And we know he's going to push the ball down the field. We saw that in ADOT. So no, I think we're perfectly in lockstep where we should be evaluating Trey Lance.
Erickson, you've got him at 9th, like I mentioned. Make the case for Lance as a top 10 quarterback right now.
I think that Debo really kind of summed it up pretty well with the rushing. It just makes it so easy for these quarterbacks to put up monster fantasy numbers because of the rushing that they offer, and that's going to be part of Trey Lance's role in the 49ers offense. There's no reason it wouldn't be. And it's great because he doesn't even need to necessarily be super efficient as a passer because he's still figuring things out from that perspective, but he's still getting you fantasy points and he's not costing the 49ers games because, oh, I didn't, you know, complete this 8-yard out route. Oh, well, don't worry, I picked up the first down with a 12-yard rush. And hey, what do you know? That scores more fantasy points. So that's what we want as fantasy managers. And I really think that people are still concerned that like Garoppolo is going to still like be on the team and be the start. Like, that's not happening. Like, they traded up for him. If Garoppolo era is over, like the minute that he's healthy and that someone goes down, like he's out the door. So I think that people need to just kind of like get over the Garoppolo thing and accept the fact that Trey Lance is going to smash this year because he is basically what you in a lab build the perfect fantasy football quarterback. Oh, who steps out? Hey, Trey Lance.
Erickson, have you, but hold on. haven't you heard that Trey Lance supposedly has arm fatigue? Like,
his, yeah, dude,
his arm's
gonna run
tired
already. His arm, yeah, because he's too busy putting all of his weight on my fantasy football teams and my roster.
Is Trey Lance arm fatigue going to be this year's version of Jamar Chase can't catch NFL footballs?
I don't, what does arm fatigue even mean? Like
I read that and I was like, what is this? Like,
too many reps at practice? Yeah, because Jimmy Garoppolo's not there. What do you expect?
We've got one more quarterback sleeper here. It's Derek Carr. You guys both have him ranked as high-end QB2. Is this a guy that if you were to find yourself with him as your QB1 on your teams this year, not a super flex or anything like that, just a standard league, how worried would you be about that, D-Bro?
I'd be fine with it. I think that he's in a tier where he can easily be a top 12 quarterback. He could be this year's Matthew Stafford. And I don't think that's hyperbolic to say. I mean, he's surrounded by star-studded pass catchers. We know the volume is going to be there. And for Carr, the biggest reason to be bullish on him is the touchdown regression. I mean, 42 quarterbacks, 100 or more attempts. Carr was 27th in passing touchdown rate. Devontae Adams is pretty good at getting in the end zone. Think that's going to come up this year. So I'd be fine with Carr.
Let's move to our wide receiver sleepers here. We've got four names on this list. I want to start with a rookie, Chris Olave, that is a guy that a lot of people are excited about, and rightfully so. It seems like he could step into a big workload right off the bat. He was pretty polished coming out of Ohio State. So Erickson, I'll start with you. Are you in on Olave as a sleeper right now?
Yeah, I've definitely moved Olave up my rankings just kind of based on the rhetoric around Michael Thomas about Alvin Kamara, who I know that Mark Ingram is getting some pump up from people talking about him missing time, Kamara. But we should be talking about the receivers too, because the Saints running backs last year with Winston under center combined for a 32% target share, which was mostly Alvin Kamara. So not only is Kamara's absence like a big impact on the ground game, it opens up massive opportunities in the passing game. And Jameis Winston, I know they kind of reeled him back in. They didn't throw the ball a ton, but without their starting running back, you figure they probably will try to air the ball out. And when Jameis Winston did throw last year, he was fourth in average depth of target. So we know Winston has a pretty deep ball, and that's where Olave thrived last year at Ohio State. You know, 7 touchdowns of 20 plus air yards, and he came into the league very pro ready. So I don't think we're going to see a massive, oh, like Olave's not figuring out. Like, he was a 4-year starter at Ohio State. I think that he's going to hit the ground running. And if Michael Thomas is sidelined, like, Olave's going to be someone that's probably going to be ranked as a wide receiver 3, you know, come week 1. And that's going to be someone that you're going to get good value drafting outside the top 40.
D-Bro, you and Erickson have Olave ranked identically at 47th overall. He's 49th in ECR. Some of the names ahead of him, directly ahead of him, Kadarius Toney, Garrett Wilson. Directly behind him are Michael Gallup, Tyler Boyd. Are those the right names that he should be in range with?
I think he should be above everybody on that list that you just went rattled off, except for Kadarius Toney. I think it's a perfect range for him, because I agree with all Erickson's points. I think that the upside is definitely there for Olave. And in my notes, I said, oh, look at that. Alvin Kamara missing 6 games will help Chris Olave's target projection for this year. We're in lockstep here. Love Olave.
Another guy that we've mentioned already on the show from Erickson is Christian Kirk. He's also on our sleepers list. Andrew, I know that you are somebody who likes him more than a lot of the experts, and you do like him more than D-Bro. He's currently ranked 42nd in ECR. You have him at 33rd. D-Bro's got him at 41st. So I know we've talked a little bit about the Jaguars offense already. Is this sort of a, you know, rising tide lifts all boats scenario for you?
I just think he's going to get a lot of volume in his offense. That doesn't necessarily, I don't need the efficiency if I'm playing in PPR. Like Christian Kirk, if he's going to have like 6 or 7 catches every single week. And that's going to be something I like, especially from a redraft perspective, you know, having to plug in a guy as my wide receiver 3 or my flex. Like I feel like I'm going to feel good about having Christian Kirk in that spot as someone I can get super late in drafts. Let's say I go running back really heavy. I'm like, I need another wide receiver 3. Oh, what do you know? Christian Kirk projects to be the number one receiver on his team coming off a career year. He got paid. So, like, all the signs are pointing to this guy's probably going to get a lot of volume, and even if it's not the most efficient, he's still going to get it, and you don't have to pay a lot for it. Like, that's the thing. Like, we obviously want to get guys on good offenses, but there's a price point where he's cheap enough where it's like, okay, I'll take the inefficient targets, because we saw with Deontay Johnson last year, if you get enough targets, it doesn't really matter what form they're coming in. So that's why I like Kirk.
D-Bro, what's holding you back on Kirk?
I mean, I feel like I'm in line with consensus. The only thing holding me back on Kirk, and I like Kirk a lot, so I might need to bump him up a little bit here. But to me, it comes down to there are players that I like a little bit more than Christian Kirk, whether it's projected volume, maybe their upside talent, the offensive system that they're in. It's not so much that I don't like Kirk. There's just some other wide receivers that are in that range that I prefer at ADP. Because I see the ceiling for every point that Erickson laid out. I think that the ceiling is absolutely there for Christian Kirk, especially in PPR leagues. He's going to be really good this year.
Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about Air Medcare. Now, in fantasy football, we do everything we possibly can to be prepared for any scenario, but sometimes the unexpected still happens. And when it happens in our game, we can chalk it up to bad luck and move it on to next week. But when emergency strikes in real life, that's the scary stuff. And it's why I want to make sure you are fully prepared with Air Medcare Network. When medical emergencies inevitably pop up, Air Medcare Network gives members the absolute best possible air transport services to the nearest hospital with zero cost out of pocket. It's less than $100 a year to cover your entire family. And frankly, what wouldn't you pay for the peace of mind of knowing that no matter what happens, you are mere minutes away from the best possible care? Whether you're an adventurous family, always towing the line, or an indoors family who prefers to take it easy, emergencies can and will find you. Be prepared with Air Medcare Network, who is currently offering our listeners a $50 gift card with your new membership. Just visit airmedcare.com/fantasypros and use offer code fantasypros for the peace of mind no one should live without. One sleeper on our list that has gotten a lot of discussion just all offseason long is Jerry Jeudy, and we all know that Erickson loves Courtland Sutton. Not as high on Jeudy, I think, for both of you guys, if I have the rankings correct. So, Erickson, I'll start with you. Obviously, you don't need to get into the Sutton of it all, but just Jeudy in a vacuum, what don't you like about him?
He just hasn't done anything in the NFL. He's been outproduced by Tim Patrick. He's been outproduced by Tim Patrick for the past 2 years from a production standpoint, and the biggest thing with Jeudy is he's never been a red zone threat. And like, that's really where Russell Wilson's receivers have made their hay. And DK Metcalf has scored like 30 touchdowns in the few years he's been in the league. And I just like, look at Courtland Sutton, like this big, massive target, Tim Patrick, big, massive target, the tight end, Albert O. It's like, I'm like, where is Jeudy falling in the pecking? And it's not like he's the speed guy, because that's KJ Hamler. So is he on the field? Is he starting in the slot, you know, in 12 personnel? Like, I just have a lot of question marks about Jerry Jeudy, and it's like all these question marks are baked in. It's like, oh, he's a fifth round pick. It's like he's a starter. You're just like, okay, like it's just a lot to pay for him. And I have drafted Jeudy at some points when I missed out on Courtland Sutton because I understand the upside. You know, he is an elite separator. Like, there's no doubt. But eventually, dude, it's like Jacoby Myers can separate too, man. And he also doesn't score fantasy points. So like, eventually your on field play as a real life player has to translate to fantasy points. And right now, or at least what Jeudy has shown me, he hasn't done that. And despite he's had bad quarterback play, no doubt, but so did Tim Patrick. And Tim Patrick was still able to score fantasy points and get paid by the Broncos. Courtland Sutton got paid by the Broncos. Jerry Jeudy was drafted by management that is no longer there in Denver. Just that. Those are my concerns.
Debra, what's the path to Jeudy outplaying his ADP?
That Russell Wilson is absolutely on fire all year. Because I think that's really what you're going to look for Jeudy to surpass his ADP. I mean, we all know that Erickson and I are both on Team Courtland Sutton here. I just, outside of Russell Wilson just bawling out, it's hard for me to really be bullish on Jerry Jeudy.
Last wide receiver sleeper here. I think the guy on our list today that you guys disagree on the most is Adam Thielen. So, Erickson, I will start with you. Are you in or out on Adam Thielen as a sleeper right now?
We've definitely had this conversation on this podcast before with Adam Thielen specifically. And basically, I like all the Vikings except Thielen. Like he's the guy basically I'm pegging as he's going to hit the cliff, you know, at his 32-year-old age. You know, posted his lowest PFF receiving grade, yards per route run, since he first became a starter back in 2016 last year. He's been dealing with injuries the last couple of seasons. Look, he has scored 24 touchdowns since the start of 2020. 24 touchdowns. Like, I just think that with Justin Jefferson starting to emerge, I like Irv Smith. I think KJ Osborne is underrated. Look, Thielen is going to dolly. He's definitely going to burn me week one. I know it. I know he's going to go out. He's going to catch two touchdowns and be like, Erickson, like, you told me to fade Thielen. I was like, guys, like, This is not going to last all year. By week 8, the dude is going to be dust. That's why I kept saying to tell people to not draft Emmanuel Sanders last year, not pick him off the waiver wire, because he's going to fall off. And yeah, Thielen could start the season out hot. Could totally see that. But when it all matters at the end, I don't think he's going to be there because he's an older receiver. And this is where we start to see things kind of start to falter with these guys. So that's kind of why I'm out in Thielen.
Yeah, usually when you think of sleepers, you think of the young up-and-comer, the guy who has yet to break out. For Thielen, it's just sort of that boring veteran. He's ranked 34th in ECR among wide receivers. Erickson has him 54th, so a very steep drop there. Debro also lower than ECR, but just by one. He's got him at 35th. What do you like more about Thielen, Debro?
Adam Thielen, it's really the context of the offense. I mean, I'm below consensus on versus where everybody else is. I mean, consensus is wide receiver 34. I'm at wide receiver 38. So,
okay, so you moved him down then.
I've moved him down. Yeah. And the thing about it, I look at Adam Thielen the same way that I looked at Robert Woods last year. Veteran player, declining efficiency, really, really good offense. So as much as I'm worried about the age, and Erickson's totally right, like Thielen's efficiency has been dropping and his yards per run have cratered. They've dropped in each of the last few seasons. The problem with me is I can only bump him so low. As long as he stays healthy inside of the context of this Vikings offense, knowing the red zone role he'll still have, I want to be below consensus, but I can only push him so far down below that.
No explanation, just answer. Over, under 7.5 touchdowns this season for Adam Thielen. Debro?
Over.
Erickson?
Going under. Justin Jefferson's going to score 20, so it's going to be Brown Thielen.
Wow.
Let's stick with the Vikings for our first tight end sleeper, Irv Smith, a guy I know you guys both like. And actually, I'll ask you the same question. Over, under 7.5 touchdowns, Erickson, Irv Smith?
I'll probably still go under here. Eight touchdowns for a tight end is a lot, so I'll go under with Irv Smith.
Debro, I know you like Irv Smith too. Are you going under also or over?
Erickson. You don't like Adam Thielen. Eight? Who the heck is catching the touchdowns?
I mean, really? Justin Jefferson's going to score 20 touchdowns.
He's playing seriously here. I'll take the over. I think this offense is going to be really good. I'm big on Irv.
So Irv Smith, you guys actually both have him at 11th currently. That's obviously tight end one territory. We haven't quite seen him do it yet in terms of a full season breakout, but a guy that a lot of people are definitely in on as a sleeper. So Debro, what do you like about Irv Smith?
I think what we want out of a tight end in fantasy is what Irv Smith can provide. And I don't care if he's blocking. I think he's going to be running a ton of routes this year because we saw those with Tyler Higbee, 72% route per dropback tight end last year. This depth chart does not have anybody else. We're not worried about Ben Ellefson, Johnny Munt, Zach Davidson, Nick Muse, any of those guys. Irv is not coming off the field, and he showed us in 2020 he could be a really efficient receiving option in the passing game. I mean, he was 8th in yards after catch per reception and 5th in passer rating when targeted from the slot. So, big Irv in the slot? Sign me up.
Erickson, I know you also like Irv Smith, but I'll give you the chance to follow up. Is there anything Debro didn't mention that you particularly are looking forward to from him this season?
No, I think that it's just spot on with the route participation. You know, part of just finding tight end production fantasy is who's running routes when the offensive drops back the throw. And based on what Tyler Higbee did in the Rams offense last year, based on what Tyler Conklin did in the Vikings offense last year, both of those guys were top 10 in route participation. Like, if Irv Smith just takes on one of those types of roles, it's really hard for him not to return tight end one value when you are top 10 in route participation at the position.
Smith is currently ranked 17th at the position. Like I said before, you guys both have him at 11th. So in lockstep about him being a very good value right now. The next tight end sleeper I want to talk about is Cole Kmet. This is a guy that I know Debro, when he was doing an article recently on the Bears stats to takeaway, was talking about his maybe potential impending touchdown positive regression coming. So Debra, I'll start with you. I assume you're in on Kmet as a sleeper right now.
Oh, absolutely. I don't really understand what people are out on. Like, I understand some of the efficiency concerns, but Cole Kmet is Zach Ertz 2.0, people. He's going to gobble up a ton of volume. And like Erickson's talking about, we want routes. We want volume for tight ends. Yes, the touchdowns matter, but I mean, come on. Cole Kmet was top 12 in so many different metrics that we care about. 8th in targets, 11th in target share, 6th in deep targets. Yeah, give me Cole Kmet all day.
Cole Kmet's currently in tier 3 in the rankings. He's 14th overall. You have him 10th. Of the guys directly ahead of him, Mike Gesicki, Pat Freiermuth, Hunter Henry, and Zach Ertz, would you have him ahead of all four of those guys?
Yes. Yes. Somebody's got to tell me what kind of magic sauce we're drinking on Pat Freiermuth. I do not understand it. We talked about this on our last episode, so go back and check that out. But Freiermuth was first in red zone targets last year. What are people looking at when they like want to put Freiermuth inside the top 12? I don't get it. Can somebody, Erickson, please tell me that. Like, could you see a case for him to be top 12 this year?
I mean, unless Mitchell Trubisky just is like, we're going to just carry the red zone targets over year over year. You're just going to get all the touchdowns. I mean, I don't have him in my top 12, so no. I'm right there with you.
Well, Erickson, I do want to also get your opinion on the sleeper we're talking about, Cole Kmet. You've got him ranked 14th, which is in line with ECR, so that seems to me like you would also take him as a sleeper right now.
Yes, I do think that Kmet is someone that he's one of my favorite late round tight ends to draft. And look, the touchdown upside, Jimmy Graham is gone. Like, Jimmy Graham has been rearing his ugly head in the Bears offense, just like showing up, catching touchdowns, and then just walking off the field. Like, that's all the guy's done the last couple of years he's rotted away in Chicago. And I think he's actually a low key sleeper to like sign with the Buccaneers. You know, he went and whispers around the Twitter sphere. But with Kmet, look, even if he doesn't catch a ton of touchdowns, it's like every week it's going to be on the waiver wire. It's going to be, okay, do you want Kmet? You want to lock in 8 targets every single week. Maybe he catches a touchdown, maybe he doesn't. Or do you want to start like 6 or 7 boom or bust tight ends that you need to have a touchdown for them to pay off, or they're going to get 3 targets? Like, that's the conversation. And in a redraft league, I just feel better about like, give me Kmet, give me, you know, 6 catches for 40 yards, 10 points. If he scores a touchdown, great. If he doesn't, he's not killing my lineup. So yeah, maybe the upside isn't there for him to be like this league winning tight end, but from a consistency standpoint, like, I find it hard to not see him finishing inside the top 12 at the position based on the target volume he's going to get.
Our final sleeper, we're going to talk about Evan Engram, and I want to save Debro because I know he's about to go on a rant here. So Erickson, I'll start with you on Engram. You've got him ranked 20th. Debro's got him down at 28th. In ECR, he's 23rd. So why are you higher on Engram?
I mean, I didn't think I was higher on Evan Engram. I guess I'm too optimistic about the Doug Peterson offense, you know, featuring tight ends. I mean, I guess that's what I'm kind of latching on to spin it in an optimistic term, because Engram has just been a total dud since his rookie year. Basically, even looking at last year, his PFF grade has bottomed out over the last 4 seasons. Last year, his target rate per route run was abysmal, 14%, despite the fact that the Giants had like no healthy wide receivers, and Evan Engram still wasn't able to produce. So yeah, it sounds weird to be like talking positively about Evan Engram as the guy highest on him, but really it's, hey, you're hoping a brand new offense, maybe he can recapture his rookie season, which you can't just totally forget about. The fact that he was like a legitimate tight end one at one point does matter, and it's still in his range of outcomes, admittedly very, very small range of outcomes. And even with Doug Peterson, it's like, yes, but Doug Peterson also featured like 2 tight ends. And as long as Dan Arnold is on the team still, it's like, look, I mean, yes, will I draft Evan Engram and hold him on my bench and see how things play out week one? Okay. But then when he does nothing, it's like, all right, bye, see you, going to the waiver wire.
Debro, I'm going to set you up by reading what you sent to us on Slack when you saw that Evan Engram was going to be one of the names talking about. You said, and I quote, "Beep, no, never, ever, not even if there is a fire, not even if he is the last tight end on the planet." Is that how you really feel?
Yes, absolutely. I want nothing to do with Evan Engram this year. And it's the greatest mind trick ever. It's like, this is not the tight end you were looking for in the Jaguars offense. Dan Arnold is that guy. His efficiency metrics have screamed he is awesome over the last 2 years. I don't understand why people are still in on Evan Engram. Like, tell me this, guys. Is this an efficiency curve that you would like to buy in? For a tight end, here's his yards per route run ranks. 8th, 17th, 28th, and 54th. His yak per reception ranks of the last 4 years. 4th, 14th, 27th, and 41st. Is that a production curve in efficiency we should be buying into for a tight end heavy offense? No. No. The answer you're looking for is no. I want a ton of Dan Arnold. I think that he could step forward and be the tight end one for this team. And please, if you love Trevor Lawrence, this is the tight end you're hoping commands targets in this offense, not Evan Engram.
Guys, you both know that one thing I like to do when we have a little time at the end of the show is sprinkle in a pop culture question for you. So today, since we do have a little bit of time, I'm going to give you guys one The offseason is kind of wrapping up, like we said, sort of the unofficial start of draft season here. So this is a simple question. I just want to know, what is your favorite TV show that you watched during this football offseason? Erickson, I'll start with you.
My favorite show, man. I've watched a lot of shows. I'll admit that. I've definitely watched a ton. And
you know, I'll start with me, since I didn't prep you guys on this. I'll give you a chance to think. For me, it was The Boys. I love superhero like movies and TV. That's, I think, The Boys is like incredible. Definitely for mature audiences only, but it is a great show. They just finished season 3. It's one of the only shows on television that can still wow me right now. Great performances all around. So The Boys would be my pick. Erickson, have you come up with one?
Yes, okay, I have come up with one. So I started watching for the first time Modern Family.
Oh, wow.
And ooh, I found that it was one. Like really like the one's like the perfect comfort food type of show where, you know, I just plop down on the couch and, you know, watch a few episodes like while eating dinner or doing something else. And it was something I kind of look forward to, like, you know, in the evenings. I was like, I'm just going to watch the show. I'm going to, like, you know, what is Phil Dunphy up to? You know, I imagine one day maybe I'll be like Phil Dunphy as a dad. And yeah, it's just a show that just gives off good vibes. And if you haven't seen, I think it's worth watching.
Yeah, we're going to start a Philosophy segment on the show going forward. Modern Family to me is a show that just like we went on too long and it definitely fell off a cliff late. But those early seasons are pretty much gold. Debra, what's your pick?
Yeah, I feel like Modern Family is kind of like The Office, and I'm sorry, but it fell off big time towards the end. I don't even know if I couldn't even watch the last season. I'd actually just concluded this one last night, so obviously it's fresh, but it's in legend category. Stranger Things has been fantastic from season 1 all the way up to the last episode that I just finished last night. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but it's so good.
Yeah, for my money, the best season since season 1. What about you?
Oh, absolutely. It's fantastic. The last episode, especially, loved it. Loved it.
Yeah,
loved it.
I thought that was definitely terrific. Let's wrap there, fellas. Thank you guys both for another awesome episode. Hopefully everyone came away a little smarter today. Please, everybody, remember all the great opportunities we mentioned on the show, including our signed CeeDee Lamb jersey giveaway, your free credit at Pristine Auction, and also your $50 gift card from Air Medcare. Most of all, thank you, the fans, for listening. For Debro and Erickson, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.